Hello everyone, this is Dan Sheridan with Cross and Throne Ministries. Our web address is crossandthrone.com. Our phone number 847-312-4676. And for those of you who have been listening, if you want to keep this program on the air, please consider helping with the costs of the radio station. And you can help by either going to the website and making a donation there, or you can go to send help to Cross and Throne Ministries at P.O. Box 421, Round Lake, Illinois, 60073. And we promise you these costs, this goes directly to paying the radio in your area. We're not going to buy Cadillacs for our guest today, Martin Zender.
We're not?
No.
I'm out of here. I was in it for the Cadillac. Okay. Now you tell me.
Well, for those of you who have illusions about that, we are sitting in a very small studio right now, surrounded by...
Small studio things
in a home, and so we don't have our church building yet, do we?
No, not yet. It's being constructed on a 20-acre facility.
20-acre facility?
Yeah.
With a fountain. All right, well, we are today, we talked to you, we teased you a little bit yesterday, but we're going to get into the idea of, does the Christian religion today exhibit the signs of a cult? Now, let me repeat this, that when we say the Christian religion, we're not talking about the truth that was proclaimed by the Apostle Paul in his letters regarding the church, which is his body. We're not talking about that. We are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we believe in his absolute saviorhood. We believe in justification through faith alone in the finished work of Christ without mixing it with law of any kind. We believe in the pre-tribulation, pre-rapture of the church. I know many deny that. That's their problem, not ours. And we believe also the millennium, the new heavens and new earth, the hope of Israel that will be fulfilled on this earth. And we believe in the final consummation when God will be all in all. So you don't have any delusions on what we're saying here. We believe in the Hebrew scriptures, the law, the prophets, and the Psalms that our Lord spoke about. We believe in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans through Philemon, Paul's letters, Hebrews, James, Peter, and John and Jude in the book of Revelation. We believe all those scriptures are given by inspiration of God, literally God breathed. So don't get any illusions. We are believers. We believe in God. We're just not part of his fan club. And so the question is, does the Christian religion, not the books I just mentioned to you, but the thing out there called the church that uses the Bible books only to give esteem to their religious organizations.
Put the name of Christ on an institution. Okay. Jesus Christ himself is not a Christian.
Okay. So here we have there was a book written by Bob Larson. Now Martin Zender in his book here, it's chapter 6 called Reason 6, The Christian Religion Fits Its Own Definition of a Cult. And there are many cult busters on there. I don't know if you've listened to some of the radio stations, but they always talk about cults. And everyone's a member of the cult except them, obviously, right?
Yeah, right.
And so a man named Bob Larson wrote a book called...
The New Book of Cults.
The New Book of Cults, and he lists the characteristics of a cult.
19 points.
Now... I want you to... I don't know how Bob Larson could have written this with a straight face.
I know.
Because almost every one of these, I say almost tongue-in-cheek, fits the Christian religion today.
And let me tell you what inspired me to go on this route. People have said to me for years, because I don't belong to an institution and because I teach these things that Dan and I have been talking about, well, you must be in a cult. Yeah. You're a cult leader. I've just got so tired of that. It's so ridiculous. I said, let's put it to the test, like Elijah with the prophets of Baal at Mount Carmel. Let's see who's in a cult. I'm going to take the definition of a cult by a Christian leader named Bob Larson. Here's his definitions of a cult. Let's do an experiment. I want to apply these 19 points to Bob Larson's group, which is called Christianity, and I'm going to apply them to myself. Whoever has the most points at the end wins, i.e. loses.
All right, first one, absolute loyalty. Here's the first signs of a cult. Number one, absolute loyalty. Allegiance to the sect is demanded and enforced by actual or veiled threats to one's body or eternal spiritual condition.
Bob Larson himself saying that the number one sign of a cult, allegiance and absolute loyalty enforced by threats to one's eternal spiritual condition. Let's apply this to me. Or you, Dan. We've never threatened anyone on this radio station to believe what we say no matter what, or you're going to be in serious eternal spiritual trouble. Now let's apply it to the Christian religion. Unless you believe in our set of rules, in the way we interpret the scriptures, unless you ascribe to our doctrines, you are going to go to hell for eternity and your family. That's not even a veiled threat. That is a direct threat to your spiritual well-being if you don't come to the altar and say the right words at the right time according to their prescribed formula. That is the mark of a cult.
Number two, so Christianity won, Zender shared nothing. All right, number two, altered diet, depriving one of essential nutrients and enforcing a low-protein diet can lead to disorientation and emotional susceptibility.
Let's go to the ice cream social. Christianity is all about eating and fellowship. Food, fun, and fellowship. That's the holy trinity of the Christian religion. Easter, Christmas, you know, they stuff you with food so that you really can't think straight.
All right, so we eat, though.
Well, we eat, yeah, but it's not the centerpiece of our worship. We don't gather around the food.
That's okay. All right, let's see, number three. Here's my favorite one. Chanting and meditation. Here's a sign of a cult, according to Bob Larson. Of course, he wasn't referring to Christianity in his mind.
No.
Chanting and meditation. Objective intellectual input is avoided by countering anti-cult questions with repetitious songs and chants. I'm going to read that again. I think people got to get this one.
Yeah, this is good.
Here's a sign of a cult. Chanting and meditation. Objective intellectual input is avoided by countering anti-cult questions with repetitious songs and chants.
Pastor, where's my dead mother? Where's my dead brother? My father didn't believe in Jesus Christ. What happens? What's happening to him right now? It's time for the worship service.
Holy,
let's sing.
Holy, holy, Lord God Almighty. No. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord.
Jesus. Oh, it's just a constant repetition. I've been to some of these Pentecostal people. We're really upset people just now. It seemed like we were making fun of it.
It's not just Pentecostal.
I've been to Baptist.
I've been to independent Baptist churches, Pentecostal churches, and Roman Catholic churches.
Yes.
It's all the same stuff. They think they're all different from each other.
Right, but they're not.
It's all about shut up and sing. Don't ask us doctrinal questions.
Yes, and it's entertainment oriented. They bring new groups in. That's how they get people in. Well, we have a new group, Reverend Don and the Singing Pastors, or Boys from Bethany will be here this Sunday. The Mother of God Hip Hop Family Singers will be here Wednesday night. Come and worship with us. There's no teaching. There's no serious answers to your questions. It's all shut up and sing. And also the total repetitious. I just see people with their hands raised. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus.
And what teaching there is done by one man, and he's not allowed to be questioned.
Exactly. Again,
he is the final authority.
There are certain questions. They say, yes, you are allowed to ask questions, and here's the list of questions you're allowed to ask. Mm. That's a cult.
Chanting and meditation. I don't know about you, but that to me, that's been my experience. There are so many things on this. If we went through one at a time, it would be unbelievable. What do you want to pick next on Bob Larson's list?
Well, number four would be conformity, dress, language, names, interest. We end up calling people brother and sister. You get to talk the talk. It's called Christianese. That's another form of...
Yeah.
Doctrinal confusion, that's a big one. Number five.
Doctrinal confusion. Incomprehensible truths are more readily accepted when presented in a complex fashion that encourages rejection of logical thought.
Yeah. Pastor, explain for me the Trinity, please. Explain to me how God is actually three persons, or explain to me how Jesus could raise himself from the dead. Well, it's a mystery. You just can't understand it. Pastor, can you explain to me how God is sovereign and in control, and yet I have my own free will and I can do whatever I want? Well, you don't want to probe that too deeply. You're being too logical. God isn't logical. Stop asking that question. And so these truths, God, how can evil exist in a universe where God is love? Well, we don't we don't really know, but here's a complicated book you can read of, you know, 600 pages of convoluted, ridiculous reasoning that ends up bringing you into more confusion than you had before you asked the question. There are simple answers to these deep questions, and you've heard them by listening to this radio station.
If only you read the Bible. If only you read the Bible, read what it says. Somebody once, I was actually excluded from fellowship because I did not understand the term, the eternal generation of the Son.
The eternal, what does that mean, the eternal generation of the Son?
When you ask the question, oh, well, you have to understand the whole argument of the, you know, the Nicene Council or some other garbage.
I got to give you this. All right. You're going to really laugh at this. I talked about the purpose of evil. We've talked about that here before, and people want to know, you know, is the universe going to end well, or is evil going to have eternal little corner in God's universe? Here's an attempted explanation in a theological book called The Many Faces of Evil by John S. Feinberg. Tell me if this isn't cult-like language. Remember, point five here is incomprehensible truths are accepted when presented in a complex fashion. All right, listen to this quote from The Many Faces of Evil by John Feinberg. In this chapter, I will explain how a problem of evil arises for a theonomous theology and show that a theonomous system can solve its problems of evil. Moreover, I plan to show that not every theonomous system must incorporate the same account of ethics. After briefly introducing theonomy, I will present in depth the views of one theonomist, William of Ockham, as a concrete example of a theonomous theology. I will then explain how a problem of evil arises in relation to theonomy and how the theonomy solves it. Finally, the chapter closes with some meta-ethical comments. How about Isaiah 45:7, folks? I create evil. I, the Lord God, do all these things.
Yeah,
a kindergartner could understand that truth. Truth is simple. The reason we have to talk for hours on this radio is because we're trying to untangle these incredible knots that theologians have twisted.
Here's
the truth
what they
into.
Do, and a theonomist, they worship religion, they worship education.
Yes.
And that's only one group, but what you'll find that these religious folks invent tradesman terminology to make them. They can't say normal
they
words.
They can't talk straight to
they
you.
They cannot.
The same
talk
in
straight.
Politics. Politicians can't do
straight.
It either.
You have to invent terms to make you sound like you're smart.
Yes, exactly.
And
you have to sound smart. If you sound smart, then people trust you know what you're talking about. We don't know what the hell you're talking about, but since you seem to know, then we're the idiots. You're a genius. We just have to believe what you say because you use multisyllabic words.
Yeah,
I
heard one theonomist. I even heard one theonomist say.
I don't even know what a theonomist is.
It's those who think that we're to live back under Moses' law for today, and America is the new Israel. Essentially, they won't say it in those languages, but that's it.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to have to stop here.
Oh my gosh, we've only gotten five points.
We're going to get some more signs of a cult tomorrow. This is Dan Sheridan with Cross and Throne Ministries. You want to escape the cult? Run to the Lord Jesus Christ. And not to the fan club. Run to himself. In him alone you will find peace. And find those who love Christ without the building. And then you'll know you have those who really love Christ himself. Go to our website, crossandthrone.com, or you can go to paulsevangel.com. Go to Martin Zender's website, martinzender.com, and get his book, How to Quit Church Without Quitting God. And we're having a conference September 18th through the 20th, September 18th through the 20th in the Chicagoland area. Martin Zender and I will be there, and we're also got one coming up in Amarillo, Texas. Details will come on that one shortly. Hope to see you up in Chicago. Until next time, Martin, you want to close it out?
Yeah, let's all believe in God in spite of what the clergy tell you.
Talk to you tomorrow.